The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina and George Kurtz in for Dan Stafford and Mike Blewett. But we got Sean Engel with us, producing our show, keeping us flying straight. Hour number three. And we were talking, fantasy baseball all day. It's awesome. A lot of drafts going on this weekend at the NFBC, Tout Wars, lots of top names in the industry drafting. And we were just talking a little Toronto Blue Jays. A lot of meh on this team. But talk about who's going to be the closer. Is Ken Giles having a tough spring? But the Blue Jays had also signed Bud Norris to a minor league deal. Norris has some closing experience. Who do you think is going to end up starting as the closer to start the season?
It'll be Giles. He's out right now because he slept on his shoulder wrong. All right, so that shouldn't last long. And he also missed some days because he had the flu. So he's a little bit behind, but he's still got time. He'll be the closer for the Blue Jays. I think he'll be fine. You know, the man has good stuff. It's more in his head that he has some issues. And obviously, he had you thought A.J. Hinch and Angel Hernandez weren't getting along. Well, Hinch and Giles didn't get along either, as Giles was upset about being pulled from some games, even though it was justly deserved. I love when players argue about being pulled when you get up 19 runs and with one out, buddy. Why are you arguing? Be thrilled to get the hell out of there. You know, you suck. This didn't work out with the Astros. You know, he's had problems with against the Yankees as well. But I think as a closer, he's that second tier closer. You know, a guy that should be fairly secure in the job, but you know, things could go wrong. He's also not going to get a ton of saves because the team's bad. You know, we're saying their players are bleh. That means their team's not very good. But he's still somebody you can be okay grabbing round 12, round 13, if you last that for long, to get 25, 30 saves. The ERA and WHIP might be over. The ERA might be over 3. The WHIP could easily be above 1.2. But that's for a reliever. That's not going to hurt you all that much. You'll be okay.
So, what are we thinking about that 74.5 over under on this team? You know, not much to love out of that starting rotation either. So, 74.5. I mean, I think it could go lower.
I think go lower as well. I mean, you mentioned the rotation. Stroman, Sanchez, Schumacher, Richard, Clay Buchholz pretty much is your rotation there. I think they might make some more trades. I think that's what you have to realize here. I think they would pretty much trade anything that's not nailed down, you know, for further prospects, things like that. Stroman could go. We've heard his name mentioned quite a few times. And now you're throwing, who's going to pitch now? Ryan Barricki? Sean Reed Foley? I mean, it's not going to get any better. I don't think they have any top prospects coming on here that they're going to pick this team up here. So I'll go under as well.
All right. So we're going under on the Blue Jays, and now we're going to move to the team which has the lowest over-under total in baseball. We're talking Baltimore Orioles, 47 and 115 last season. However, Vegas Insider thinks that they're going to be 12.5 games better than that this season, 59.5 win total for the Orioles of there, George.
Good luck with that. I mean, boy, this is a bad team. Bad team. I mean, Chris Davis at this point, Chris with the C, he's a sunk cost. I mean, they're just releasing. He's striking out left and right in spring training. Just move on. John LaValora, I like it. Shaw, second base. I think he has a nice rebound. He can steal you some bases. Once again, a guy I'd love to get as my second baseman later on, around round 10. But he's going earlier because, once again, I'm not the only person who's thinking this. Yeah, they're drafting him.
Yes.
Exactly. Of course, I'll pass on the rest of the infield. Mancini, Cedric Mullins, Austin Hayes. Austin Hayes has some value, young ball player. Could come do some damage.
Having an awesome spring.
He is. But spring numbers, I generally don't care about them. But once again, not someone I'm targeting. If I end up with him as my fourth or fifth outfielder, that's fine. But not someone I'm dying to get here as far as Austin Hayes is concerned. But there is some upside there, and I do like him. Young player, I think could hit well in Camden Yards, so things may go well for him. You know, Trumbo, no, I'll pass. Maybe hit some home runs, maybe he does. But he's always hurt now, too. Mancini and Mullins. I mean, it's just not much here and on the offense. It's just not much
you
here
know
on
who
offense for me.
It intrigues me the most. Chance Sisko. And I know you don't, and I'm with you in terms of, you know, when I look at spring numbers, the pitching stats kind of intrigue me more, or you know, I pay more attention to them. But then again, you know, it's early in the spring. A lot of these pitchers don't throw their full complement of stuff until later. But when you look at Chance Sisko, good minor league numbers, having a good spring, four home runs so far, batting .333 with there being nothing out there at the catcher position that we just discussed a few minutes ago. You know, he's someone that, in a deeper league, you know, I might take a chance. Definitely in a two-catcher league, he's definitely viable and not being even looked at.
Well, that's the key. In a one-catcher league, I want nothing to do with him. You look at his numbers throughout his career, what category is he going to help you in? In the minor leagues, his highest home run total was 7. I guess 9, if you want to count the time he spent in the with the Orioles. RBI is nothing special there. He doesn't, of course, he's a catcher. He's not going to run. And even his batting average, generally, it doesn't look like it's going to be anything special here. In a two-catcher league, let's face it, you know, anybody who's wearing those tools of ignorance has value. They all have to be drafted here. He's a starting catcher here. But in a one-catcher league, no. I think you could do better here. I don't see there being a whole lot of upside here. I just don't. Even though I love the name. He's got two names I just love. Chance, Sisko. Can have a lot of fun with that name. So love the name, but I don't have much interest in him in a one-catcher league. In a two-catcher league, I'll say it again, every catcher has value in a two-catcher league.
Yeah, because you know he's going to get at-bats. But you're right, in a one-catcher league, no. But I've been playing in a lot of two-catcher leagues, and I think he definitely has value there. And, you know, when you look at his minor league numbers, you know, 306 lifetime batting average, 386 on-base percentage, and a 420 slugging. So, you know, he might be able to help you a little something. So definitely in a two-catcher league. Right there. So we mentioned Austin Hayes. What about Cedric Mullins? Center field is his job to lose, and he's doing his best to lose it with that 152 batting average in spring training. A little power, a little speed potential. And another guy just to keep on your radar, who knows, a prospect to watch, Yusnil Diaz. He was sent back from the Dodgers in the Manny Machado trade last season. So he's got some potential. I mean, I would think with how bad this team is going to be, they're probably going to see the Orioles, you know, test out every player that they can, give them some, you know, if something's not working out, I think they're going to easily call up any prospects that they have just to know what they have in this rebuilding process. But you mentioned Chris Davis. He just gets worse every year when you look at Chris Davis. I mean, his average was under 200, and it's gone down like 3 straight years. So, and they paid him a lot of money, George. They paid him a lot of money.
Yeah, they were pretty much bidding against themselves, though, when they paid him, and he's way – it's a sunk cost. It's just a sunk cost. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get any better. You know, I guess if they were a better team, you move on. You know, you do what the Yankees mm-hmm. do at Ellsbury, just bury him on the DL. But since they're a poor team anyway, I guess you could just keep running him out there. I bet at 168 last year, Joe. 168. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pathetic. You know, it wasn't like he came with a lot of home runs. 16 home runs, 49 RBIs. Yippee. You know, you could live with the bad average when he was hitting 40 home runs. But now with this, I mean, it's sunk cost. You need to move on here. You just do. I think the problem with the Orioles is this. In this day and age of baseball, this team is going to be bad. You'd like to use this year and next year, maybe the next 5 years, to test out your young prospects, right? Let them play at the major league level, learn up here. But teams don't do that because you don't want to lose that control. So you're not going to see any of these guys, at least until the Super 2 date goes away. And we never really know when that date is because it goes on by how many players are called up. Generally, at some point in May. So I think that's when the Orioles could start to bring up some of these guys. Like I said, let them learn up here. Let them play up here to see what they can do here. But you're not going to see them early on as far as you mentioned Diaz and Mountcastle, guys like this, to let them learn up here. But they should. Because let's face it, if you want any fans coming to Camden, at least any Oriole fans, because Camden will store, Red Sox fans will come down. Yankee fans will come down.
Yankee fans.
Beautiful ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone down. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful ballpark. I love watching games there. You get great seats and great sight lines, and it's a beautiful park. But other than that, you know, they're not going to make too many Oriole fans there. But calling up your youngsters, your top youngsters, does tend to get some juice in, throughout the fan base. Everybody loves the new toy.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that 59.5 over under? I know that they won 47
games last year.
Oh, under.
I'm going way under here.
Yeah.
Under.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to be a little bit better than that 47 win total? The half could
How?
Be, right? I mean, that just a little bit? Let's say 50? But I agree. The 59.5, I'm taking it under. Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that one. Who's going to close for them? And what does a closer on that team get? Like 15 saves? Is it Michael Givens? Well, he's having a rough spring.
Still, every closer has value because 15 saves is 15 saves.
So absolutely,
they still have value. But this is the definition of a closer who's not going to last the entire season. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter. Right now, it is Michael Givens who's not having a good spring at all. And he's been lousy in the spring. Even if he starts at the closer, which I am certainly not guaranteeing right now, this could easily be changed in the next 12 days. Miguel Castro, I think, is next in line. He'd be my guess for next in line. But right now it's Mikel Givens. He's the guy you take at the end of your draft. Yeah, you're in round 23, fine, take Givens. He'll give you a couple saves before he gets replaced. But that'll be it. And this is ordinarily I might tell you, hey, grab Castro late, your last reserve pick, because he'll close eventually. But you just said it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the upside here? Even if Castro gets the job, he's probably not getting enough saves to really make it worth even that, unless you really need 1, 2, 3 saves. Yeah, you know, so I wouldn't take Castro late either. Not especially since we don't know for sure that he'll be the next closer in line here. I think Givens, as best case scenario, is that he figures things out over the next 10 days and does start the season as the closer, but he certainly won't end it.
So we're done with the AL East. How do you think this division pans out? Do you think it's going to? Who do you think wins the division? I mean, obviously it's a 2-horse race here. Not obviously, but let's face it. If everything breaks correctly, it's going to be between the Red Sox and Yankees again. Just give me your quick take on what's going to go on in the AL East.
Well, once again, this whole year is going to be played out just to see who wins the American League East. The other team gets the wild card, so it's being played out to see who has to play the one game play-in. You know, between the Red Sox and the Yankees, I got to give the edge to the Yankees right now, mainly because of the bullpen. Both teams can hit.
Mm-hmm.
The Sox have an edge in the rotation, but the Yankees can get by with what they have in the offense. I think the bullpen could come back to hurt the Sox eventually, but both of these teams are going to win over 100 games, I expect again. I don't know if either one's going to do 108. You know, I can see either being the low 100s, 101, 102. I'll give the edge to the Yankees. I think they're the better overall team, but, you know, you throw in another injury or two to that rotation. You know, Sabathia is out. Mid to late April, Severino, May 1st. Paxton, history says he doesn't last all year long. You know, Tanaka's elbow is hanging by a string, apparently. So, the Yankees could suffer some further problems here. With
We've been saying
reload.
That for several years, right?
Since about Tanaka. Several years, right? Now, that's a pretty damn strong string.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so it should be an interesting year in the AL East. Why don't we move over to the AL Central? And Indians finished the season last year. They won the division by a healthy margin by 13 games. They were 91-71. And their over under number is 91 again. So, look, we kind of talked about this real quick earlier. Twins seem to be closing the gap. But when you look at the Indians, you know, fantasy wise, I mean, Jose Ramirez, he's an automatic to me. Power, speed, you know, I know he regressed a little bit in the second half, but for me, he's an automatic. If I have an opportunity to draft him, I will. A lot of concern earlier in the spring about Francisco Lindor, but looks like he's getting closer to seeing game action. Played in a minor league game, not running at full speed yet, but it's looking up for him. But then you look at their outfield, it's kind of ugly there, George. Jordan Luplow, Leonis Martin, Tyler Naquin. I like Greg Allen, like I mentioned before, in 25 spring at-bats. And I know, we don't put that much credibility into spring numbers, but he finished the season kind of strong last year, Greg Allen did. And he's batting .480 this spring with two steals, cheap source of steals. Who else could we talk about on this team? Jake Bowers, a little first base and outfield eligibility. Carlos Santana. Why don't we start with Francisco Lindor? At this stage, are you more comfortable drafting him, knowing that things are moving forward? Doesn't look like there have been any setbacks to his injury so far.
I think it can go either way here. Am I more comfortable? Yes, I would say I'm more comfortable, but I probably still wouldn't. And what I mean by that is, originally he was supposed to miss maybe the first 2 to 3 weeks of the regular season. Now it looks like he won't. Okay. He'll be healthy. That he may even start the season on time, maybe it's a game or two at most. I don't think he'll start the season on the DL. I'm sorry, the IL. I don't think he'll start the season on the IL. So and obviously that's good. So I think he's getting there. He's being playing controlled scrimmages. One's going to keep that calf healthy. My issue is this. Even with when we thought he was going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, he was still being drafted at the end of the first round. But part of his value is that he steals bases. What if the Indians say, you know what, we're going to protect the calf? So at the very least, he's not stealing bases in April. Maybe not May, before they let him run loose again when he proves he's fully healthy later on this summer. Or maybe they say the whole season, let's calm this down. You know, make sure we have him for the full year. We don't want to lose him for another 2 months. So I'm worried about that. And that's a big part of his value there. He's not going to steal bases there. So that's why I'm hesitant. I won't have him. Of course, to me, he would probably have to fall a round later. End of the second round, they'd be more comfortable in drafting him, and he won't fall that long. So while it's certainly good news and everything points to the fact that he is going to be healthy for opening day, I'm not taking him for that reason. I just don't trust the injury. I don't like drafting players who are hurt already. It scares me, Joe. I'm a conservative drafter. I want to know that the player I'm drafting is going to, as of right now, is going to play all season, and I should be good. And with Francisco Lindor, I just don't know if he's going to give me what I need him to give me for my first round pick. I can't do it.
You and I are alike in that way. I'm kind of a conservative drafter, and I'm with you in terms of. There are definitely other options that you could have than taking selecting a player. No matter how good their upside could be, if there's a chance that they could be injured themselves. All right, when we come back, we'll continue talking AL Central, Fantasy Sports Today, Joe Galina and George Kurtz.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Galina and George Kurtz. Filling in for Dan Schrafford and Mike Blewett. You can follow me at Joe Galina. Follow George Kurtz at George Kurtz. Pretty simple, right? Got Sean Engel producing our show. And we We're talking a little Cleveland Indians baseball. We previewed the AL East. Now we're into the AL Central. George, what happened to Jason Kipnis? Guys, still only 31 years old. 18 home runs, 75 runs batted in last season. But second year where he batted 230, previous year batted 232. What happened to this guy? I mean, what kind of value do you place on him in fantasy drafts, if any, this season? I mean, the 18 home runs, and seven stolen bases at the second base position. Maybe he's a middle infielder, but that batting average is going to suck the life out of your fantasy team.
Yeah, it's strange, right? He was once a top second baseman, somebody we wanted to have on our team. And now, now you don't. you really don't. But he was somebody who was giving you 20 home runs, steal 15 bases.
Yeah.
Give some power with a good average. Mm-hmm. He was a good player. And
yes,
do I know what happened? You meant he's only 31. It's not old age because he's been bare for a couple of years now. He'll actually be 32 on April 3rd for those who keep track of such things. Did he get old quick? Is that what just happened here? Some places lost it? Was he trying to hit home runs too much? Is there an injury we just never found out about? But he's not the same player. You mentioned the last 2 years he's averaging 231. That's a big hit to average. And he's not giving you enough.
Yes.
He doesn't give you enough home runs. Doesn't give you enough stolen base to offset that. So he's a middle infielder at best. And I said, when I draft my middle infielders, Joe, I'm usually looking to hit a category. What am I looking to hit with Kipnis here? And I said, no real speed to speak of anymore. The average is hurting, and the power is okay, but not great. So he's not really somebody I'm looking for as a middle infielder. He'd be a reserve for me, more of a desperation reserve. Okay, I'll take Kipnis, because he's just that average. I don't want him in my lineup. Average is hard to make up for once you start losing it. The average in fantasy, I think, is like 267. If he's bringing that down a couple of points, that's hard to bring up. Now you got to find someone who's going to bat 300. And that's tough to find. Those plays are gone. Especially as the season moves on here. Again, it's July and August. It's hard to move your average up. So Kipnis is not someone on my radar. Shame. He was once a very good player, but he lost it quick.
Yes. Yeah, he really did. Anything else you like on this team offensive-wise? I mean, Jake Bauer's interesting because he has dual position eligibility at first base in the outfield. And as a first baseman, one of those rare breeds that could give you, maybe a low double-digit stolen base total. So he's interesting in that respect. What do you think about Jake Bauer's?
Yeah, I have interest in Jake Bowers. I know in deeper leagues I've been trying to trade for him, but unsuccessfully. But I have interest in Jake Bowers. I also like Carl Santana. Once again, average going to hurt a little bit, sort of in that Kipnis mode, but he'll have some extra power there. But I like Santana to rebound a little bit this year back home in Cleveland. Obviously, we love Jose Ramirez. In my mind, as far as fantasy drafts are concerned, snake drafts, the drafts start at the fourth pick. Trout's going one, Betts two, J-Ram three. So the drafts, that's when drafts start. The fourth pick, we start to have our fun here. And Ramirez, of course, he gets second and third base eligibility in most leagues. You already talked about Greg Allen earlier, source of speed. You get later in your draft. Leonis Martin, somebody I don't mind grabbing as a last outfielder or a reserve outfielder. I think there is some upside here, some bounce back possibility. So I might take a look at him. Bradley Zimmer, if your league has IL slots, you want to throw him in there, grab him late and put him on the IL for later. I don't have an issue with that either. But as far as the outfield is concerned, it really is Greg Allen's the only guy I'm major looking at because I want those stolen bases.
Yeah. What do you think about this pitching staff? I mean, we have Corey Kluber. By the way, I wanted to mention with Carlos Santana, two things that I want to just note is that the guy always gets off to a slow start. So keep that in mind. Career batting average in the first half, 234. In the second half for his career, bats 262. Also, especially valuable in leagues where one of the categories is on-base percentage as opposed to batting average. 363 career on-base percentage. Wherever he's played, he's always been a good OBP guy. But as for their pitching staff, Corey Kluber had been on the block, and who knows, he might still be. I guess if you look deep enough, the guy was 20-7, 2.89 ERA, but if you look deep enough and you're looking for trouble, you might see some warning signs. Fastball, 93.1 Now it's 92.4. It's a slight drop-off. Hard hit rate against of 36.6 last season. That's a career high. Five straight seasons of 200 or more innings pitched. Maybe the kind of guy where you might want to jump off before, you know, the you see a downfall in his numbers. He's over 30, George. Don't trust anyone over 30, right? 32 years old. So, and also just the fact that the Indians were looking to move him. You know, what do you think about Kluber this year?
Kluber, the problem with him has always been he wears down as the season goes along. That's what's hurt the Indians in the playoffs, because he hasn't been the Kluber of April and May and October. I mean, it is what it is. This is not a surprise to anybody. We all know this is coming here. I love this rotation. I mean, this is why it's hard not to pick Cleveland to win the American League Central. Kluber, right. Bauer, Carrasco, right. Clevenger, Bieber. I mean, my God, that's probably the best 1-5 in baseball. You know, and that includes the Mets and Nationals here, because once again they have a 1-5. It's dynamite. So that's why in my mind Cleveland wins this division again because of this rotation. So Kluber, I don't have him in any leagues. Once again, another guy I'm not looking to avoid. And maybe I am subconsciously, because I know he could be a problem in late August, September, during our fantasy playoffs or our fantasy run to the championship. He could be an issue, as is last couple years have proven. I'm not so much worried about the trade aspects here. I think he certainly was on the block, but the Indians wanted a lot. They couldn't get it. I don't think he'll be traded in season unless the Indians were to fall apart, and none of us expect that. So I think he stays with the team here. So I'm fine with Kluber. Once again, top five starting pitcher, second round pick. No issues there. Trevor Bauer, another guy, great. Only getting better. Yeah, he's quirky. He's quirky as all hell. He says a lot of weird things. And he's a strange guy. But I don't care about that. I'm not hanging out with the guy. I just want him to pitch for my fantasy team. Once again, an SP2. You can grab him in a round or two later. Carrasco, I think Carrasco is very good as well. Maybe not quite as consistent as the other two yet, but I would probably draft him above Bauer. I know on the step chart he's listed at number three here, but I would draft him above Bauer. Probably late round two, round three as well there for Carrasco. Clevenger and Bieber just to fill it out. The only thing we're worried about Bieber is, can he strike out enough people? Strike out 8 the other day. I know it's a small sample sizes, but I think he's only going to get better as well. So I love this rotation.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I mean, there are certain teams that pile it on offensively. The Indians pile it on with their starting pitching staff. Could be one of the top three in baseball when you look at it. Solid top to bottom. Who's going to be the closer? I mean, Brad Hand, do you put him in elite closer category? Is he one of these guys that, you don't worry about him losing his job, for the most part?
Well, I mean, even if you were worried, there's really no one to take his job. And Andrew Miller's not there anymore. so there's no one to take his job. I'm not really worried about Hand. I don't think I'd put him in elite, because I need to see him do it over a full season first before I put him in elite. But he's the top of that second tier. I have no problem with Brad Hand. If I can get Brad Hand as my second closer, it means I'm doing very well. It probably also means I spent two very early picks on closers, but I would have no problem with Hand as my closer.
There you go. All right. So what do you think about this 91 number for the over-under and wins? What do you think? I mean, I think it could go slightly under, but I mean, then I think back. I mean, I could see them winning like 89 games, but then I look at that starting pitching staff, and I don't know. Maybe they can hit it. What do you think, George?
I think that's an accurate number. I do. So I think it's pretty much right on here. The offense does worry me somewhat. Do they have enough to win all these games? The division. Tigers are bad. Kansas City's bad. Chicago's getting better, but they're not there yet. And then the Minnesota Twins, where they can compete somewhat. I think Twins will compete for this division title until about August, and then they'll fall off. That's when the starting pitcher will catch up with them, or lack of starting pitching will catch up with them, which is really why I keep saying it. I wish they would make a run at Keuchel. Kimbrel will certainly help that bullpen as well. So I do like the Cleveland Indians here. I think they'll win the division here. 91, I think, is right on the number.
Yeah, it's very close.
I mean,
yes.
Obviously, I'm not going to bet it, because I'm not sure. I don't feel strongly about it. But if I had to, fine, give me the over. But I don't feel strongly about it whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm with you on that in terms of it being kind of like an accurate number. Like I said before, I mean, you could see them winning 89. I could also see them winning 92. But, just that starting pitching staff is is going to keep them as a team to be reckoned with in that AL Central, and also the competition level as well. Let's move on to the Minnesota Twins. The Minnesota Twins last season were 78-84. They've made some additions to their team, mostly from the offensive side, and their over-under win total number is 84. So let's see, they've added Jonathan Scope at second base. They've added C.J. Cron, and they've added Nelson Cruz. Three boppers there, George.
Well, they've added more than that. Marwin Gonzalez is now there. He can play all over the place.
True.
Which I think is extremely valuable to have somebody like that. The Twins are an interesting team because they have so many players with upside. If they all hit the upside, my God. You mentioned Cron, he could be a 30 home run guy if he plays every day. He won't, but he could be. You know, Scope, I like Scope a lot. You know, I don't know what happened last year with him in Milwaukee, why he performed so poorly, but he is another guy. He hit 25 home runs. I mentioned Marwin Gonzalez, how well he can play there. You mentioned Nelson Cruz, could easily be a 30 home run guy there. Is this the year that Byron Buxton figures it out? Max Kepler, same thing. If they all hit, my God, this could be a really good team, a really good offensive team. They could. They're not all going to figure it out. We know that. You know, there'll be some bumps and there'll be some problems here. There always are, but I like this. The overall makeup of this team, I like. I think it's interesting here. I do think they're going to have some interesting or difficult roster decisions. Because you mentioned Cron at first base. Well, you also got Tyler Austin there. You got Lucas Duda there. They're not going to keep all three. Someone's going to be sent bye-bye. And it's not like you have a DH to rely back on because Nelson Cruz, that's your full-time DH. I wonder what they're going to do here. Who goes away? You know, I sort of could be two guys going away. Because you could easily say, you know what, Gonzalez can back up first base behind Cron. We'll send Austin and Duda out. So I wonder what they're going to do as far as this roster crunch is concerned here. But I like the overall makeup of this offense. I just, like I said, every player we could name almost the entire team as far as, this guy could. If they all come through, it'll be dynamic. But odds are it'll be half come through, half don't.
Absolutely. Miguel Sano is going to be missing some time for the Twins. You know who else I find very interesting on this team? Maybe he's more entertaining. This Williams Astudillo. You look at what this guy can do. He's an eligible catcher, third base, could play second base. He pitched last year. When you look at this guy's numbers, batting average-wise, the guy could hit. You know, just a question of whether or not he could get enough at bats to make him fantasy relevant. But you know, in a way, if you're in a deep two catcher league, you know, he might be somebody that you might put on your team. Looks like Sano is going to be out until at least May. Had some surgery on his lower right Achilles, so maybe that could get some. Estudillo some bats at third base, but then like you mentioned, you got Gonzalez who could play third as well, could play all over the place. So Estudillo, an interesting kind of guy.
He's extremely interesting. Now, once again, you're absolutely right. He can hit, and he qualifies as a catcher. This is what makes him interesting. At bats are going to be tough because he's not going to get many at bats as the catcher because he's not a very good catcher. You know, his defense has some issues there, but the man can hit. He's built like a catcher. 5'9", 225. My God. So he's certainly built like a catcher. The Sano injury does open up third base as a possibility. But once again, you look at things. When everyone's healthy, all right, you expect Cron or Austin to play first base. Scope second. Polanco short. Well, the outfield, Kepler, Buxton, Rosario. Guess who's playing third? That's Marwin Gonzalez. You know, I just don't see where – I don't know where the playing time's coming from. He's not going to DH, obviously, Nelson Cruz. So he's going to need at least one injury, really, to get in there. I don't know if he'll give you enough at-bats. What I'm saying for in a two-catcher league, I have no problem with him as the second catcher. Because I'll tell you right now, in a two-catcher league, I don't care about my second catcher. I don't care if he doesn't play. All right, I want to protect my ratios here, my average. I don't want my second catcher killing my average. So if the guy's not playing much, I'm okay with that. Astudillo is perfect for that because when he does play, he won't hurt my average and he'll add some home runs as the second catcher. The problem is what I'm seeing, especially this week, I did a couple of drafts, he's being drafted as a catcher one. He's not a sleeper anymore. People are talking about him. We're talking about him. I know I put right. his. I think I put his name out there on Twitter yesterday. You know that he could be someone to pick up there. So people are talking about him now. Now he's if he's going to be drafted as a catcher one, that's a problem because I don't think you're going to get enough at bats out of him as for a catcher one. But then again, if you're someone like mm-hmm. me who hates catchers and tends to wait forever to draft one, there's some upside there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get lucky. Maybe you get lucky and he does get the full time job or he gets 400 at bats. I will take 400 at bats from him if you can possibly get that. But right now, Joe, I just don't see where those at-bats are coming from unless they're going to catch him
right.
half the week. And I don't think they are right now. That could obviously change because Jason Castro is their starter, and right now Mitch Garver is technically the backup. They could send Garver out and have Estadio be the backup, and that's a nice lefty-righty combo there because Castro bats lefty, which means he played most of the time anyway against the right-handed pitchers, and Estadio goes against the left-handed pitchers, which is maybe 1-2 days a week at most. And if he can get one day, mm-hmm. another day at third base or whatever it might be, that's interesting now. But I think he's sort of hoping for playing time here. I at another position, Joe, I wouldn't even talk about this. It wouldn't be worth it. But at catcher, right. I think it is because I hate them anyway.
Yeah, it just goes to show, you know, how difficult it is to fill that catcher spot. So we got less than a minute left. When we come back, we can even just start it now. When you look at Byron Buxton, his glove and his pedigree as a top prospect is going to entice the Twins to keep his bat in the lineup. But he's having a big spring, 4 home runs, 423 batting average and 26 at-bats. Yeah. Bad season last year. Migraines. Broke his toe. Hurt his hand when he went to rehab assignment. Ended up batting 156. What could we expect from him this season? George, when we come back, we'll talk a little Byron Buxton on Fantasy Sports Today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today, Joe Galina and George Kurtz filling in for Dan Stratford and Mike Blewett. We got producer extraordinaire, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel. And fantasy baseball reigns supreme today on the network. Want you to swing for the fences this daily fantasy baseball season with DailyRoto.com. If you are playing MLB DFS on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto will help you hit your first home run as the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package is now live. Lineup alerts and weather updates, they've got you covered. Fantasy projections, they have you covered. Lineup optimizers to compete with the pros, yeah, they have you covered there too. Save 10% on winning MLB DFS advice with an early bird special using promo code FNTSY. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% early bird discount today. Can't wait to play some fantasy baseball DFS there, George.
Absolutely. It'd be fun to be setting lineups again for me, getting those starting pitchers, man. It's always how I approach my DFS lineup, starting pitcher first. I like to get my W and then work out from there.
I would think they're going to have some DFS lineups for the two games this week, no?
I would assume. I don't know if I'll play those. I honestly don't. Because then I might be forced to wake up then, and I don't know if I want to do that. But I don't expect to be playing for the two Japan games. I think I can wait the extra week.
Mm-hmm. All right. So as we headed out to commercial last segment, we were talking about the Minnesota Twins. And we left off talking about Byron Buxton and what we could expect from him. By the way, at the 11 o'clock hour, we got Chris Mitchell of Fantrax.com and RotoExperts.com, a host of the Mitch Dog Unleashed podcast on Fantrax. He's going to be talking some fantasy baseball with us at the top of the hour. But, George, what do we think about Byron Buxton and this hot spring that he has? Do you believe it? I mean, given 500 at-bats, what do you think his floor would be? Is it the 15 home runs, 20 stolen bases?
Listen, I think when it comes to Buxton, it's this. All right, if you're drafting him. Now, if you were drafting in late February, early March, he was going much higher because he was hitting like 9 home runs a game and he was playing very well. He's cooled off some since then. But I think it comes down to me. If I'm drafting Buxton, and I'm not afraid to draft him, by the way, draft him for stolen bases. Anything else you get, gravy. All right, draft him for your stolen base. We all need stolen bases. I just reading about the tout wars happening today. It's an AL-only league, but Malik Smith went for $25. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, once again, that's an AL-only league. He wouldn't go for that much in a mixed, but it lets you know how valuable stolen bases are, that people will mm-hmm. pay for it. So if you're drafting Buxton, that's what you're drafting for. Okay? Now, Buxton, listen, he's having a good spring, batting 400, 4 home runs. I imagine most of those home runs came early. He's striking out a lot. Okay, so that's going to be an issue, but I don't care. I said I'm drafting him for stolen bases. You said 500 at-bats. Okay, I got to assume he gets 500 at-bats, 40 stolen bases are coming, at least. That's what he has to do.
Hmm.
My question is will be average. That's the worry.
Yep.
You know, average. He's hitting 400. Obviously, he's not going to hit 400. I don't think he's going to hit 300. But I can't have him bat 230. That's crazy for someone like him. You have to put the ball on the ground, use your speed. All right, your OBP has to be over 370. It just has to be for your type of player. And that's my biggest issue. Take your walks, you know, work the strikes on that sort of thing. So for where he's been, like I said, in the latest mocks, he's going later now, probably where he should be. So he's a player I feel much more comfortable grabbing now as my third outfielder, fourth mm-hmm. outfielder for my stolen bases. Once again, that's why I'm drafting him, Joe. Stolen bases. I think if you're looking for anything else out of him, if you want 15 home runs, you're probably asking too much. For what we've seen of him over the past couple of years, I just steal me some bases. I'll take 500 at-bats, and I'll take everything that comes along with it. I understand when I'm drafting him, I probably do need to make up some average. I don't know for sure, but if I'm when I do my little penciling in of each guy so I know whether I'm over or under, I'm just writing it down a strict 250. All right, if I can get him above that, that's great. Below that, well, I'm not surprised. But I know I got to make up his average somewhere with somebody else. But I want the stolen bases. That's what I'm drafting him for. So I have to make that adjustment in my where I'm going to draft him. I'm not drafting him before around, really, 12-team league, double digits is really what I'd like to get him. As my outfielder 3, outfielder right. 4, and work from there. If someone's going to take him around 7 because they believe he's going to bat 280 this year and hit 15 home runs and steal 60 bases, fine. They're paying for it. There's nothing I can do for it about that. They're paying around 7 price. I'm not going to pay that price. I want him in double digits, but I do want those stolen bases, so I will take him.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you said. Batting average could be an issue. I mean, when you look at this guy, he really has had issues hitting the curve. A 188 batting average against lifetime in the majors against the curveball. So definitely needs to improve on that. So another guy that we've spoken about in previous shows, Jorge Polanco, penciled in at shortstop, a guy that could help you on average, hit 15 home runs, 15 stolen bases. Got a couple of nice corner outfielders, Eddie Rosario, another guy that has, you know, moderate power, like lower 20 home run totals. Maybe could pump that up a little bit and hits for average, you know, upwards of, you know, 10 steals, maybe 7, 8, 9, whatever. And Max Kepler, you know, if he could come on. I mean, this whole offense, it's an interesting one. It's an interesting one to watch. But moving on to their pitching, you wonder what happens after Jose Berrios. I mean, he showed overall improvement last year, faded down the stretch from July 29th on. last year, 4.66 ERA, 3.48 ERA up to that point. Much better home numbers, 3.03 ERA and 0.972 WHIP, as opposed to his away numbers. Away, 4.85, 1.35 WHIP. So what do we think about Berrio? I mean, he's a, you know, it's a guy that has shown improvement and was a top prospect.
Yeah, I mean, he's a solid pitcher. People are higher on him than I am. Once again, when we talk about the Twins, I mean, boy, I like the offense. They have so many upside players. I think some of them will hit there. You just went over all of them. The pitching staff, however, is there anybody with an upside? It's the entire staff, by the way. The bullpen's kind of ugly, too. I mean, Berrios, Gibson, Odorizzi, Pineda, Martin Perez, Edelberto Mejia. I mean, wow. Wow. All the hope. When you, I get excited when looking at their offense, like, wow, this could be fun. And then you're like, oh, my God, this is why they're not going to win. And it is. It's why they're not going to win. Because you're not going to get any kind of consistency out of any of these other than, I think Berrios will be by far the most consistent. Everyone after that is like, oh, boy. You know, it's kind of ugly here. Berrios, I know some people are judging him as an SP2, SP3. I would have him a tier lower, SP3, SP4. But he'll go before I have to worry about him. And that, I don't want anybody else. Not a 12-team league. You know, Gibson, Odorizzi, Pineda, no. You know, these are all streamer guys. You know, during the year, okay, you won't. I got Odorizzi today against the Seattle Mariners. Okay, I'll throw him in today. Yeah, he's on the waiver wire. I'll throw him in for a game. You know, and then get rid of him right after. Pineda, I think probably we won't see the best of him. And listen, I wish nothing but the best from Pineda, former Yankee. But he probably needs another, maybe mid-season he'll figure it out. If not, maybe it's next year. Martin Perez failed in Texas, which I get it. It's Texas. The ball flies out. Tough for anybody. But I don't know if things get all that much better for him in Minnesota. Jake Odorizzi is what you're pretty much your definition of your average starting pitcher. You know, Gibson, pretty much the same thing. So there's just no upside here for me, Joe. No upside. Like I said, Berrios will get drafted. Gibson might be drafted late as well. But after Berrios, these are all streamer guys for me. Nobody I want on my team full time.
Yeah. Well, been some buzz about Michael Pineda, but I agree with you. It might take him a little bit longer to stretch out it, where he can become someone that could be a major contributor to the starting rotation. And you kind of intimated it earlier in the show. Why aren't the Twins in on a Dallas Keuchel more or a Gio Gonzalez? Well, both, you know. Who's going to be the closer on this team? Is it? You really can look at, you know, that when you that definitely need some help in that starting rotation. What about for their bullpen? Is Trevor May the closer on this team? Kind of like Taylor Rogers is one of those guys that we would talk about the Ottavinos, you know, the guys that, you know, that could help you in certain categories and may eventually become a closer. What do you think of is Trevor May the guy for now?
I think he's the guy for now. He goes in the third that's closer three category, which means good luck. You know, he could really lose that job at any time. I mean, Trevor May, Blake Parker, you mentioned Rogers. Addison Reed is there too. So I think May, as of right now, starts the season as the closer, but the leash is short. You know, it is short, and it wouldn't shock me if he loses it pretty much at any time here. And Taylor Rogers, let's face it, he's a left-hander, the only left-hander in the bullpen right now. He could easily be the guy, if they don't use him the first eight innings, and his two left-handers coming up in the ninth, he closes. Right, that could easily work out as well. But generally, in my mind, when there's only one left-hander in the bullpen, they'll probably need him earlier. So that's the issue there. You know, they'll need him in the seventh inning when the left-handers come up, or the eighth inning, whatever it might be. So that's why I lean away from him, even though you can make the argument he's the best reliever in the bullpen. But it's a mess. May, Parker, Rogers, Reed. Too much going on there. But, yeah, May is that guy. But you're not spending anything but a late pick on him.
So what do you think about the over-under for the Twins? Their over-under pretty generous. 84. Last year they were 78 and 84. Do you think they've made enough improvements to this team where they could get to 84? Can they get past the what we perceived to be a weak starting rotation?
Listen, it's not perceived. That is a weak starting rotation. Can the hitting outdo it? You know, I don't think the rotation is terrible where it's going to get, you know, give up nine runs a game, but it's certainly not someone that's going to keep teams down with 2-3 runs a game there. And playing in Minnesota probably helps in the cold weather in April. You know, teams can't really hit. Nobody likes to bat when it's cold. You know, you get those bees when you hit the ball at the end of the bat or off the handle. So it's certainly not comfortable here. I'm leaning under here. I just am. I like the offense. I hate the pitching. And generally, offense can only cover so much here. I'll take the under.
Yeah, I could see them going 80 and 82, you know, unless they make some wholesale, you know, some significant wholesale changes or as significant as they can at this stage of the preseason, that starting rotation. So I think the under is a pretty good bet. Should we take a look at the Tigers and the... In the time we have remaining before commercial, the Tigers were 64 and 98.
Certainly shouldn't take much time.
We shouldn't. Yeah. 69 is the over-under in that team for this season. You look at the Tigers this year, and the first thing that tells me what we're looking for this season is Jordan Zimmermann is looking like their number one starting pitcher. So that tells you something.
Yeah, and it's not something good.
Right.
Listen, well, they sort of shut down Fulmer, right? They're not because of injury, but because of mechanical issues. They believe that's why he's lost some velocity off his fastball. He's having mechanical problems here. Yesterday he threw a bullpen session without his knee brace. Let's see if that's the issue. So we'll see. Hopefully it is. But listen, this is a team that is the definition of rebuild. I'll take the under, by the way. 69, I'll take that under. Easily. look at this. I mean, could your normal fan... I don't know if I could have named you three, four players in the... Well, I can name at least three. So I probably could have. But could your normal fan name you... Name me two players other than Cabrera and Castellanos. I mean, it's Grayson Griner, Nico Goodrum, Josh Harrison. Okay, if you remember, he signed there. Jaime Candelario, Jordy Mercer, Christian Stewart, Jacoby Jones, and Castellanos. These are your guys who are starting. This is your starting lineup. I mean, wow. Good luck here, man. Good luck hitting here. This is you get for teams that get good. Right? Your pitching staff struggling? Oh, go face Detroit. They'll fix it for you.
As a matter of fact, you mentioned Castellanos. I love Castellanos as one of top five, top three on my team, on my fantasy team, outfielders. I think he's really coming into his own. A lot of good power, will hit for average. I think they finally figured out that he's an outfielder. He's not a very good defensive player, but definitely could hit.
Somebody better. Because like I said, this looks kind of ugly here. I mean, this is not a good, easy ballpark to hit in either here. Oh, and this is a bad team. This is a bad, once again, bad team all around. And it's another the Tigers know this, by the way. They've already said they're building with 2022. All right, the GM's already come out and said they're not spending money until then. So they know they're a bad team. But this is also a team that, listen, if it's not nailed down, they'll trade it. They'll trade it. So Zimmermann, if he's pitching well, could find his way on a new team. He's certainly not part of the long-term future there. Castellanos, we've heard his name mentioned quite a bit, and I think he could be dealt eventually to a team.
He asked to be traded, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine why. Why would you want to play in Detroit? This
Miguel
bad
Cabrera
team, bad, having a
nice spring, huh? How much are they paying him this year, Miguel Cabrera?
Yeah, well, a lot of money. They're paying him for a long time, too. I mean, Cabrera,
$32 million
well.
In 2023.
Oh, God. What a horrific contract. That now, but Pujols, the Yankees think they have a bear with Jacoby Ellsbury. At least they're out of that in 2 years. I hope Cabrera goes back to being the Cabrera he used to be. I do. I think he'll hit, but the problem is I don't think he'll play 160 games. You know, he's already not in the greatest of shape, really has been here. And I think he'll break down again. And you do wonder, last year I noticed before he got hurt, he had warning track power. Man, the ball looked good coming off the bat, and then it would die at the track. And that's usually a sign of old age. You know, when you're quite getting up there, you don't have that, you know, that quite that same pop where the ball where the ball flies off the bat or comes off the bat a different way here. See, what if Miguel Cabrera is in that range now? But either way, I just don't think it matters. Cabrera, you want to take him late as a corner infielder? No issue with it. Castellanos is the only guy on offense here I'm remotely interested in. He's still an outfielder three.
Hey, pitching, I was joking about Jordan Zimmermann. You look at what he's done so far this spring. 14 Ks in 9 innings, 1 walk. Interesting.
Seems to have figured it out again.
Christian Stewart. Yeah, yeah. Christian Stewart, somebody to look at also on this team. All right, when we come back.
Yeah, I don't believe in him, though.
Yeah. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Mitchell coming up.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.